Morning.
Good morning.
The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ. Thanks for being with us this morning for our service on our second Sunday of the season of Advent. Real briefly at the beginning here, for the kids, for the rest of the Advent season and the Christmas services, we put together a activity book with coloring pictures and fun stuff to do. They're back there in the back on by the bulletins. So those are there for the children. Wanted to point those out. And then today we celebrate on this second Sunday of Advent our second Sunday of our theme, the Lord is our righteousness. So we'll be talking about that more this morning during the sermon. Thanks for joining us for our service. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in. We begin our service this morning with our hymn of invocation. That's hymn 331 in your hymnal, The Advent of Our King. And on the last verse of the hymn this morning, we do invite the congregation to please stand there on the last verse. Let's sing together, The Advent of Our King. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority. I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We have our introit responsive this morning from Zechariah 9, Jeremiah 33, and Psalm 118. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord is righteousness.
Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteousness and salvation, the Lord is righteousness.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord is our righteousness.
From the house of the Lord we bless you.
Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled constantly to serve you with pure minds. Through the same, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Malachi in the third chapter. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning from the book of Philippians in the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Invite the congregation to stand for our Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Euridia, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowd asked him, what then shall we do? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? It is hymn 344, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is himself our righteousness. Amen. Please be seated. Last Sunday, we began our Advent journey of understanding and focusing on Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 16. The Lord is our righteousness, the text says. And last week, we also focused a bit on how that righteousness is ours in Christ. It's a gift, we said. An incredible gift that none of us deserve, that we couldn't earn if we tried. And it's not just any old righteousness, if you remember, we posited. It's the righteousness of God that becomes ours by faith and in the waters of holy baptism. It's his righteousness that we partake of in the blessed sacrament, and his pure perfection that enters into our ears in the hearing of the Holy Scriptures. This week, I want to move on and focus on the next part of the phrase from Jeremiah. Before we do that, I want to answer a question that came up this week about this text and about even the sermon from last week. And the question was this: what is righteousness? The word, what does it mean? So simple answer this morning as we get into the sermon this morning. The righteousness, biblically speaking, means simply this: without sin. Without sin. That said, we go on. Now, as Lutherans, we're known for paying close attention to the verbs that others might find insignificant in the scripture. I want to give you an example. In the words of institution, if you remember back to your confirmation days or when you were confirmed, you might remember your pastor or whoever taught your confirmation class, your church leader, your teacher, making a big deal out of these words where Jesus says, we hear it every week, "This is my body," referring to the bread of the sacrament. "And this is my blood of the New Testament," referring to the wine of the sacrament. We make a big deal out of verbs. Okay? The verb in that sentence is the word "is." But it's important because it doesn't say, in the words of institution, "This represents my body." That's not what it says. It doesn't say, "This is a symbol of my body." Probably take 80% of Protestant Christendom wants to believe that. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, "This is my body." So in good Lutheran fashion, we focus on the same verb in our text from Jeremiah chapter 33. The Lord is our righteousness. I hope you had some time this week. I encouraged you, exhorted you, almost begged you to spend some time considering what this idea that the Lord is our righteousness means to you in your everyday life. I hope you had some time to do it this last week. It was kind of a challenge of sorts. The Lord is our righteousness. We explored it, but here's something we didn't touch on last Sunday. Since he is our righteousness, that means our righteousness, or as we defined it earlier, our sinless state by grace, by faith, comes to us from outside of ourselves. From outside of you, from outside of me, it comes from Jesus. One of my seminary professors back in Fort Wayne, he described it this way when describing where our sinlessness, this blessed gift, comes from. Sin obviously comes from us, but he said when it comes to sinlessness, to our holiness, to our righteousness, he said it's an alien righteousness. It's an alien righteousness. Stop and think about it. It was alien totally to our world of sin and death when sinlessness and holiness and perfection entered into our existence in the person of Jesus on the first Christmas. The gospel itself is so foreign, so alien to our existence, to our programming even, that the Apostle Paul goes this far in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that he says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." We have an alien righteousness at work in our world. All those people, you know, those people that are hung up on the extraterrestrial might want to look at what's truly alien among us. God's righteous ways. They don't fit in with ours, as God also, of course, proclaims to us in the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I'm sure you're familiar. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." But the one thing we know is that even though it doesn't fit in, that doesn't at all mean that it isn't here. Because it is. He is. He's doing the work that he was sent to do through his word and his sacraments. For God also said in that same chapter, verses 11 and 12, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This is where people often struggle, and I mean struggle greatly, in believing our confession on the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. They don't want alien ways. They don't want ways outside themselves. What makes sense is to say, "Well, it's a symbol. Well, it represents." That's not what he says. He says, "This is my body." Do you know how far Jesus is willing to go? John chapter 6 is how far. Where he literally says to the disciples, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." It's pretty alien to them too when he says it, because they say, "This is a hard teaching. Who could believe this?" It's alien to our world. It doesn't fit in with our ideas. But sin, see, sin is so nasty. It's so intrinsic in our nature that when you look at it the way we're looking at it this morning, if we were to disagree with Jesus' words, we'd have our own thoughts higher than his thoughts. We'd have it completely backwards. Remember what Isaiah said, what God says through Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts." But his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But that's not the way we often think. In fact, you'll hear people say, "Well, that doesn't make sense." Okay. Doesn't make sense to me that God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But there was. It doesn't make sense to me that he could form Adam out of the dust of the ground and then breathe life into him, and he became a living being. I don't get it. If you get it, tell me later, because I want to know. His ways are above our ways. If He says it, then it's true. And then the really crazy thing. Because it's not just into the world that the Word of God and righteousness of God is alien. It's also alien in you. And it's alien in me. And this actually helps us make a lot of sense out of what we feel as Christian believers, right? Because we can feel this tension within us all the time. We know what's right. We want to do what's right even. As Paul says this quite eloquently in Romans chapter 7. That which I desire to do, I find myself not doing. He's struggling with his sinful flesh. There's this alien sort of thing in him. It's really there. Sinlessness. Have you ever thought about it that way? At work in you. That's right. Righteousness, holiness, the perfection of God at work inside of us. This is amazing. And we have to admit that just like our Lord, as we read on in the gospel accounts, didn't fit in on the streets of Jerusalem and Judea and Galilee, it doesn't fit in. He doesn't fit in us sometimes either. In fact, what did they do with their Lord when He came to them? They love darkness rather than light, John says. That He came to His own and He was rejected. Despised, Isaiah uses the word. He's not just alien in our world, friends. His righteousness is alien within us too. And so often do we cast Him aside. So often do we not have time for Him. That's what we experience in this life as Christians, is this reality of that perfection of God. It came in through your ears. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how it got in there, and now it's there. And it makes life not so much easier sometimes, right? But more struggling as our sinful nature is clamoring and climbing and clawing just to get something from me. Just to make it fair. Let me show you something really unfair. That big thing on the wall. That was really unfair. The perfect, sinless Son of God, His alien reality within this world that didn't fit in on the streets in which He walked and doesn't fit in on the streets of our hearts. And you know what they did to Him? They killed Him. And God, we repent this morning of trying to put You out too. And we know You forgive us. It comes from outside of us. And then when it shows up, it keeps leading us back here together as believers. Around His word and around His sacraments, that's where He's leading us. It's incredible. And He leads us in lots of other things too, but primarily to His word. I don't bet, actually. I see all the commercials for the sports betting, right? They're on all the time. I love to watch football and stuff. I don't do that. I don't know if you do. But if I did, I bet that before you came here this morning, you had an internal struggle on whether or not you were going to come. I don't know. What do you guys think? Should we go? Should we not? Why did you come? Because the alien righteousness of God is in you. The seal of your salvation, as the scriptures put it. The gift of the Holy Spirit and faith is in you. That's why you're here. It's why I'm here. It's incredible. We call it the gift of faith, usually. That's the phrase we use to talk about it. We say the gift of faith, his word, his alien righteousness we learned this morning at work in us. And Isaiah proclaimed it. It will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it's sent. And those are beautiful words. Words that means we can set down a lot of the pressure that we're carrying around trying to be. I don't know what you're trying to be, but he's got something bigger for you and for me. We can set down that pressure because if you believe and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for you, that he resurrected for you, that he ascended into the heavens for you, that he sent his Spirit for you, then see it. The Lord is our righteousness. That means he's replaced our dirty, nasty, sinful life with his perfect one. This is the kind of confidence you can have as a Christian. And he's always working on us and leading us by his logic. His ways, his thoughts that aren't our thoughts. When we're wronged in this life, you know how it feels. Somebody did something, somebody said something, somebody didn't say something. Holy cow, it can be a pretty sensitive subject. We'll suffer it once or twice, but then we'll pop. We might not pop on that person, but we'll pop on somebody, right? It's actually easier to pop on somebody else. Remember Peter? He says, how many times should I forgive my brother? You could say my sister too when they wronged me. Peter says, 7 times? I kind of chuckle at that, but if you're right in the middle of that right now, it's not a laughing matter, is it? 7 times feels like a lot. Our Lord's response, 70 times 7. This is what that alien righteousness is doing in you and me. Having and leading us in the forgiveness of people who've sinned against us. We say it in the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's what it means to be Christian, friends. That's what God's work in us is doing. That's the alien righteousness of Christ given to us. And you know it, and you feel it, and it's real, and it's strong. And guess what? That's what Jeremiah is saying. The righteousness of God in us. And we can tell. Trust it in you. It's his word that's already in us. And so we can trust where it leads us, where he leads us. It might seem like foolishness. It might seem alien. But hey, sinlessness is always going to feel quite alien to sinners. Into a sinful world, but it's not foreign, it's heavenly. And by faith in Christ, it's coming from our true home because our God said our sins were forgiven, and our God said that we're children of God. And our God deems us righteous, imputes his own righteousness to us. So that's our home, our heavenly home that's working in us. That causes that tension. Oh man, that's gorgeous. Already tasting of the kingdom of God, already blessed by it in our everyday lives. It's our true home breaking into our world and breaking into us to rescue us and take us where we belong. For we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we can trust him. We can trust the verbs. He is with you. This is his body. This is his blood. He's here. He is here. He'll never leave you or forsake you, and everywhere he leads us by his word is for our benefit. even if it seems alien to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting.
We continue standing for our prayer this morning. If you're able, our response for our prayers today is, hear our prayer. O Lord our God, you declared Israel to be your people and brought them out of Egypt. You desired their salvation even when they would not listen to your voice. Since you've called and gathered us also to be your people, we pray you open our hearts to listen and gladly submit to your word. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, as you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, send forth pastors and missionaries. Lord, send forth your believers, all your believers, to declare your saving word to the nations. Preserve them from the temptation. Protect them in suffering and equip them with every good gift to make known the Christ who still comes to save. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as you call and gather us into your family, we pray you would so bless the households of this congregation, that you'd bless husbands and bless wives, bless fathers, bless mothers. Lord, bless those who are single in the service you have for them as they all go about their work. Lord, let our love for one another abound more and more with the knowledge and discernment that you give, and fill our homes with your righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, St. John the Baptist counseled penitent soldiers to go about their military duties according to your word. Remember those who serve in our armed forces. Lord, remember our police, our firefighters, all first responders. Protect them from harm. Give them wisdom and courage, and grant that they can fulfill their duties honorably. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is mightier than all, your Son, Jesus Christ. For his sake, we entrust to you those in need this morning of healing, of comfort, of rescue, or anything else they have need of. Lord, we name before you from the altar this morning, John Johnson. We lift up to you the Feather River Adventist School in Oroville, California, the families and staff there. We also name before you Katie and Eric Philly, Connie Poole, Rob Miller, Joyce Austin, Anna, Rupert Gallegos, Sherman and Lisa, Ella Gonzalez, Richard Lynch, Janice Ross, Lori Hauser, Jim and Linda Holman, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jerry, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. O Heavenly Father, have mercy upon them and deliver them according to your will and strengthen them in faith that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, you sent John the Baptist to prepare all flesh to see the salvation of God. Prepare also the hearts of all who kneel at your altar today to receive worthily Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, you sent your Son to purify us, that we might be righteous and holy before you. Lord, in we pray that you deliver us from the love of sin, which defiles us and stains our works before you. That you cleanse our hearts by your grace, so that we may delight in your promises and our works will be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, dear Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service for our offerings. Our hymn for the offerings this morning is printed for you there in the bulletin. It's hymn 508. We're singing stanzas 1, 5, and 7 as the offerings are collected and presented to the altar. Let's sing. Been joining us on the radio this morning. We thank you for tuning in and wish you the Lord's blessings on this Advent season and your preparations for the holiday of Christmas. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn over to page 9 in your bulletin and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK.